It's good to have Chad share with us. I've been encouraged over the last few years by Chad's growth and seeing him grow. So thank you, Chad. Thanks for sharing. I remember back in those days when we started going to the Most Excellent Way together. It was a lot of fun. And I'm very thankful that God has continued his work in us, because not everybody that was going has continued to follow after him. So Tom asked me to share a few weeks back, and I told him I'd pray about it and I would think about it and see if anything really came to me. And I said, but I think it's probably an okay thing. I think I maybe have a topic that I could share on and discuss and mull over a little bit and see what comes up. I had just got back from a fishing trip, and joy, the subject of joy was on my heart, because I came back, I was gone for a few days, and I'll get into that a little bit more later. But so I'm going to share on joy today. Webster Dictionary definition of joy is the emotion invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or the prospect of possessing what one desires, a state of happiness or bliss, a source or cause of delight. And then I also have a couple other just brief things here out of a dictionary that helps us to define what things in the Bible say or mean. And a couple of those definitions are a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire, or to shout or leap. So that is a few of the different definitions of joy. What joy means to me now versus 2 weeks ago is a totally different thing, surprisingly or not. So anyway, like I said, I was gone. I had been gone for a few days. I was off on a fishing trip. I thought I was going to come back just, you know, happy, excited, just doing great. And I went with a few other guys, and none of them know the Lord, as far as I know, yet, or anything like that. And as the time went on there, and when I got back home, I was more empty than when I left. And I'm like, Lord, why? Where'd my joy go? Why am I so down? I should be happy. I got to have a few days of just relaxing and just being out. But the energy was just kind of sucked out of me by them, and I wasn't fulfilled with joy while I was gone. So I was kind of seeking why I didn't have joy, why the joy wasn't there, and why I wasn't having the joy in my life that I thought that I should. You know, because doing things like that, we think doing things, or at the time I thought, well, doing things that I enjoy doing, love to do, should make me happy. And it didn't. And I was kind of surprised by that. So that's what I was thinking, that doing things to make me happy should give me joy. That's what I thought joy meant a few weeks ago, which most people probably would assume that's what joy is. When you do things that make you happy, you're joyous, and that's what makes you happy. So as I began to study scripture, listen to different sermons from different people, I got a little bit different definition of what joy meant. How do we really know what brings us joy? Like I was saying, it'd be things that we delight in. We tend to magnify things that give us joy. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him, or we glorify what we enjoy. So if we really love something and delight in it, we talk about it because it gives us pleasure. You can't help yourself. When you have something that you're really joyful about, you want to share it with others. You want to talk about it. You want them to experience the joy that you have within you, whatever that may be. It just tends to burn within you and want to come out in different ways. So here's a thought from John Piper in a message I listened to and some different things I read on him and what he thinks about joy and how he views joy and what he spoke about in this sermon that I listened to. Piper says, joy is not optional. It's not an option. Okay. Here's a direct quote from him in his thing, in his sermon. When God is our deepest pleasure, we display him as our highest treasure, which is why we pursue the joy of the Lord, and it is not optional. Because the pursuit of God's glory is not optional, the fight for joy is not peripheral, because God's pursuit of his glory is not peripheral. As close to the heart of the universe is God doing everything for his glory, so close to the heart of Christianity is your doing everything for joy in God, because what you take joy in is magnified. It's a pretty deep thought. So in this, it's not just the things that we decide always. It's the things that we love, we want, we crave, have joy in, that we magnify. God has not made you to magnify. That doesn't make any sense. God has not made us to just glorify things that we want. He's made us to glorify and enjoy him. It's not just a matter of, you know, saying, I have decided for God, or I'm committed to God, or I'm going to follow God, or I signed on a dotted line that I've given my life to God, and that's enough. We're not going to glorify him if that's all that we do. There has to be more to it than that. It's not just a level of I decided, or I prayed, or I have done these things. It's not enough. God won't get glory from that. And in that, we have to dig deeper. Food can get glory from doing things like that. Family can get glory from doing different things like that. Whatever we treasure with our emotions can get glory from doing things like that. Out of the intensity of the emotion we have for that thing, and people will see that. But in that, God doesn't necessarily be glorified, and it doesn't necessarily bring us the joy that we're looking for. It may bring us some temporal joy, but is it a lasting joy? Is it a fulfilling joy that we have, you know, just like on that tripping trip? Yeah, I had fun fishing. I had fun catching a 25-inch walleye, but 3 hours later, the joy of it was gone. It was just temporal, where the joy of the Lord doesn't just fade right away. So we have to fight to be happy in God. Some different people that I listened to and different things that I said or that I heard, the fight to be happy in God is the most important, and be joyous in God is one of the most important things in your life. And I thought, wow, that's pretty extreme. It's pretty, you know, intense that it is one of the most important things in your life. I'm going to look at a scripture here that looked a little different to me a couple weeks ago versus how it did now, too. And Matthew 13:44 is the one. And you... The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. So when I used to, you know, look at this verse or think different things about it, I used to look at it as, oh, okay, go sell what you have and then, you know, buy something, or then God will give you something. We need to sell everything we have, you know, for Christ, or give everything to Him to buy treasure in Him. You know, different ways to look at it, different things to say. But in it, when He talks about it, in His joy, are we willing to do it? He did it with happiness. He did it with gladness, like, take whatever you have. I take everything I have. I don't care. You know, can we say, here, God, here's my phone. I don't care. I don't want it. Here's my TV. You know, here's my house. Here's the keys to my car. Whatever it may be that we're glorifying in, you know, I know for me and for a lot of people, maybe in my generation, giving our phone and just saying, God, here, have it. I don't need it. It's like, oh, that's my phone. I use that to do lots of things. I work from that. I go on lots of different sites. I get entertainment from it. You know, it's, can we give God those things with a joyful heart? Can we say, you know what? I'm going to throw my phone aside all day. I'm not going to touch it all day because I'm going to give this day to you, and I don't want to be distracted by it. I don't want to be pulled away from you by it, you know? So are we willing to do that? Are we willing to give up our TV and throw our TV away and do for different things, or not watch anything, you know? Not that doing all these things is always a bad thing or something that we can't do, but if it's taking away from us spending a time with God and it's what we're finding joy in, and we're not finding joy in the Lord, then we may need to take inventory of where we're at in that. So can we say, Lord, take everything I have, and say it with great joy? Or are we kind of doing it with a murmuring, complaining heart? Well, I guess you can have this. You know, I mean, you can look in Scripture where, I don't know the verse exactly, but where Peter is like, Lord, we gave up everything to follow you. And it's kind of like, why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to give up everything to follow the Lord? Why wouldn't you want to lay everything down? So even the apostles did it at different times with kind of like, well, look, we gave everything up, you know, and we can do that too. Are we willing to, I laid this down for the Lord, but I'm not willing to lay this down or do this. And as we grab on to different things to try and find our joy in, we're going to end up further and further from the truth. Kind of like Chad just shared. He was trying to do it on his own. He wasn't allowing God to do it. He wasn't allowing God to bring things to him. So, next scripture that we're going to stay in Matthew. I'm just going to go to 5:11-12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So another question is, how do we deal with persecution? Are we willing to be persecuted for the gospel? Are we willing to, if God is asking us to, go knock door to door and share with people? And do different things no matter what people will say about you. Are we willing to be persecuted and do it with a joyful heart? You know, Chad's got me thinking about the most excellent way. That first year where I had given my heart to the Lord, we did parades. And I mean, we did parades. Chris knows what it's like to do a lot of parades. We went to every one and handed out tracts and tried to witness to people during the parade route. We had a float that we had made. And I think, I don't know, we probably did 20, 30 parades that summer. It was a lot. Every weekend, we pretty much went to a parade somewhere and did it. And we all did it with joyful hearts. I can say when I look back at the time and remember it, I didn't care what people thought about me. Everybody thought I was crazy already anyway, so it didn't matter. Are we willing to do that with a joyful heart? Are we willing to be persecuted for a joyful heart? Are we willing to stand up for what we believe in? You know, myself included, I know I'm guilty at different times saying, well, I didn't share with that person because I didn't want to offend them. It's probably not really the reason why I didn't share with them. I didn't want to be rejected. So I didn't share with them probably was the real reason. But we tend to make up excuses for ourselves, myself fully included. And that is always the case. Sometimes we do need to maybe be careful. But if I've never shared with the person, how do I know they're going to be offended? Is, you know, kind of my thought. It's more of me being afraid of being rejected for the sake of God. And am I willing to do that? Am I willing to lose friends possibly, or have people think like he's kind of weird? He believes in, reading the Bible and doing what the Word says, because a lot of this world obviously doesn't do that. So are we being truly passionate for Christ and willing to be persecuted for Him? John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. In that, is there any other joy that we would rather have in us? I'm going to come back to that scripture later, so that's why I didn't have you turn to it right away. But really, is there any other joy that we'd rather have in us than the joy of the Lord? You know, being full in the joy of the Lord and what God has told us about Himself, through the Father and everything like that. Are we being a biblical people, or are we just getting different truths from our emotions or non-emotions? You know, is our joy truly coming from what the Word says, or is our joy just coming from how we feel about things, what we think about things? Psalm 32, verse 11. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Another one where it talks about joy, just a couple more over in Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So from different scriptures that I've read here, God is really commanding us to do this, not giving us a choice if we stick to what the scripture is saying right there. God is commanding us to have joy in Him. And the fight for joy, as I am now seeing it, is not a fight to be comfortable or to have security or to be prosperous or anything else the world is telling us right now or that is advertised to us every day on a billboard or a TV or commercial, however it may be. It is a fight to join Jesus on the Calvary Road. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy has set before him on the Calvary road, enduring the cross and despising shame. Are we willing to be on this road? Or do we say, I have so much in Jesus, or do we say, I have a lot of stuff and I love my stuff. I love my stuff. Or do we say, my cup runneth over in the Lord in what really counts? Am I going to use my stuff and my time and my energy to make my day? Or am I going to use Jesus to make others' day? Would be the question I have for myself as well as some of you. Are we just going through our day with emptiness and things that aren't filling us up? Or are we going through our day looking for God to fill us up and looking to bless others, no matter what their situation may be? 1 Thessalonians 2:19. There's a lot of verses on joy, by the way, as I went through, and this is just a few of them. I mean, there's a lot more. I've got a couple more here that I'm going to go through and talk about, but I'll be done here in about 5 minutes. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glorify in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes again? So, when we meet the Lord again, whenever it may be, face to face, or when he comes again, are we going to say to him, look, God, look at all these things I have. Look at all this money I've got. Or are we going to be at a point where it's where we can say, Lord, look at the things I've done for you. I know what I want my answer to be. I don't want to be finding my joy in things, which can be very easy to do. I want to be finding my joy in the Lord and spending time with him and doing things for him and working for him and glorifying him and finding my joy in him. Even though my emotions may be hurt, even though my emotions may be pain and suffering at different times, I want my heart to have joy. I want the joy to be within me, not what's on my outer sleeve or how I feel that day because of my emotions. I want my heart to be at peace and at joy, in have joy in him, no matter what my circumstance. Not that we can't have those other emotions, not that those other things won't happen. But what does my inner man say? How is my soul feeling each day as I go on with the Lord? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. This is kind of, you know, what I was talking about before. This is the spillover. This is the overflow that's coming out of our hearts. This is where what's within us is what other people are going to see. You know, are we truly being the witness that God has asked us to be to the people that we come in contact with each day? Can they tell that we're a Christian? Can they tell that we believe in the Word? Because our actions are going to show it. And just as I shared, we're going to talk about what makes us joyous. And if God's not making us joyous, what is making us joyous? And how do we change that? You know, joy will produce a kind of risk-taking love. If our joy is truly in Jesus, we're going to be willing to take risks for him. If something we have or do we really enjoy, we're going to take risks for. We're going to do things because it makes us happy. I know this because I have some things in my own life that I take joy in that a lot of people think I'm crazy for doing. You know, not too many people get up at 4:30 in the morning so they can go for a 6-mile run, but I like to do it. I get joy from it. It's taken me time to learn how to run and what can make me happy. But I also know that about an hour after that run's over, the joy of it has faded away. It's gone. It's no longer there. But for about an hour, it made me feel pretty good afterwards. Partially that's because I'm an adrenaline person, and I figured out if I push my body to a certain extent, mile 4 or 5, my body starts to drop adrenaline. Well, adrenaline makes us happy. It's one of the things that makes us happy. So we can do things to try and make ourselves happy and to try find joy, but they're not necessarily going to last. They're going to fade away. And I think God is okay we do those things to an extent, but they can't control our lives. They can't run our lives. He needs to be running our lives. He needs to be the center of our lives in what we are pursuing, in what we are going after. So I think that God is possibly, I know he's knocking on my heart. Maybe he's knocking on somebody else's too. I hope you guys are blessed by what I am sharing. I know that I will be, and I will be challenged by this in the future. So I'm kind of just sharing what's coming out of my heart right now and what God is challenging me to. So in this, over the last week and a half or so when I've studied this, I've realized the fight for joy in God is not a fight for joy in general. It is a fight to be who God has called us to be, a call to be closer to him with a peace that passes all understanding and a rest that only he can bring. So, as I was trying to look through different things and figure out how to close this, this is my biggest struggle. It's like, how am I going to end this? How am I going to close this? You know, how do we fight for joy? How do we do it? How do we fight for joy? If we don't have it, how do we get more joy? And I had nothing, and it didn't come to me until this morning. As I was thinking and praying and going different things, I thought about farmers in the area. And we can't just create joy. I could try, but it'd be fake. Start jumping up and down and be super joyous. Can't do it, but I can raise my hand. I can do this. I can do different things. You know, we can do things like that. We can. But we can't create the emotion of joy in our hearts in 1 second's time. Can't do it. At least I can't. Maybe somebody else can, but I can't. So in thinking this, it's like, okay, how do I get more joy in my heart? It's a gift. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift. It's something God gives us. How do we get more of it? And as I was thinking about it this morning, no more can I create joy in my heart than Paul or Mark can create 300 bushel corn. They can't do it. They can't say, my corn is going to be 300 bushels an acre this year. They can't create that to happen. But they can hope that that will happen. They can desire for that to happen. But to get to that point of the harvest, so to get to the point of the harvest of joy in our hearts, we need to do some preparation. They have to plow the field. They have to plant the field and fertilize and do some other things, but in the same aspect, they have to rely on God to bring the rain, to bring the sun, to bring the heat. So for us to have joy and want joy, how are we preparing our hearts? Are we spending time with him? Are we worshiping him? Are we reading his word? Because to have joy in him, the way I see it, yes, he could just give it to me. He could just say, yep, I'm going to give you a dose of joy. But if we're not cultivating that in our heart, is God just going to keep giving it to us? He could, but not necessarily. But if we're cultivating it constantly and we're sowing in things where we may reap the benefits of joy, we're going to see it a lot more often. We're going to see the fruits of it because it's where we're devoting our time. It's the things that we're doing. It's the seeds that we're planting. So that is, I guess, how I feel I can have more joy in my life and how you guys can have more true joy in your life. There's a lot of good information out there on joy and different things. Take some of this stuff and study it if you want to. And if you want more joy in your life, spend more time with God, seeking him, praying to him, and going after him. And I believe that you will have it.